It's getting darker when the sun is gone, and it's tough on the streets. You can still feel the heat. Baywatch Wild Nights. Baywatch Wild.
Hello and welcome back to Baywatch Watch. I'm Charlie.
And I'm Zach.
And we're back. We've got a great guest with us today. He is a comedian. He is an actor. He is a writer and a musician. Please welcome to the show, Ronnie Adrian.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Ronnie.
I like to give the audience a little bit of time to applaud, or if they haven't seen who it is, to be like, oh, it's him. that's how I consider myself.
Let them definitely recover themselves.
Oh, it's him, guy.
Build up there. Yeah. Well, welcome to the show.
Thanks for being here.
We were discussing before the record that this threw you for a loop. Baywatch Nights.
For sure.
Oh yeah.
I honestly when it was posed to me that, hey, we do this podcast, would you like to be on? This might have been like 2 years ago. I could be over exaggerating, but it was a long time ago they asked me, then never brought it up again.
We're horrible at scheduling. You are 100% right there, Ryan.
It usually happens like the day before the record, honest. A little, yeah.
I mean, and that's how it happened with this one. But I was like, all right, cool. Yeah. Finally, they respect me. They want me on to talk about Baywatch. And then you give me this fucking episode. Baywatch Nights. Like, they didn't even give me a regular Baywatch, everybody. They gave me a Baywatch Nights. Well,
I'm going to call right here. We're going to have you back on the podcast with the regular show, if that sounds great.
Yeah. Okay. So this just happens to be where we are.
This is where we're at right now.
Probably like a trash episode or something. Like, oh, this is Baywatch episode. And it's like, oh my gosh, they're not even at the beach still.
Ronnie, I got to tell you, this was a good episode of Baywatch Night.
Honestly.
Zach, I don't know how you felt about it.
Yeah, I like this one. It's pretty fun. I hear what Ronnie's saying, though. It is a very different show from what he was probably expecting.
If you've never watched this show before, yes, then you would be never. Like, imagine someone discovering Baywatch for the first time. They see this episode of the show and they are like, what the fuck is going on here? But yeah, so Baywatch. So just to let you know a little bit, Baywatch Nights, spinoff of Baywatch, obviously. Season one, they are private eyes who are investigating crime. And then
who are they?
Is Mitch and Ryan, and then there's one other character, Garner. So the two
and
main
Mitch
characters.
David Hasselhoff's character.
David
right?
Hasselhoff, yes. Okay. And Ryan is Angie Harmon of Rosalie
and
Niles.
And what's his qualifications to be?
None.
None.
Absolutely zero. And it's like very transparently so in the first season of Baywatch Nights. He talks about it. He's like, well, I'm new at this. And it's like, but you're not qualified.
No idea what to do. He doesn't get his license until ever. Like episode 7. Of season one.
Oh,
like,
he does get it?
Like, yeah, he goes like, okay. I passed the test. But then for like season two, they were just like, let's just do X-Files. And so season two, every episode so far has been paranormal. It's been aliens. It's been mutated creatures, ghosts. So that is where we're at right now.
I feel like you left a little bit off of what their pitch was. The pitch was, let's do X-Files. Bad.
Yeah, bad.
I can't claim to be an X-Files fan. I've watched a few episodes because I was trying to be like, what is the deal with this?
And sure.
So I've seen a couple episodes. And this is my problem. My problem is I feel like these episodes are sort of standalone-ish episodes within a season. Like, I feel like it's not one episode then helps inspire the next episode.
We're not going back to
the
cabin. Yeah.
Unfortunately not.
So my thing was, what it failed to do for me in a way that I feel like so many of these other procedural type shows do, like let's say like a CSI or whatever those things are, is they don't make you feel comfortable enough to just sort of jump in an episode and have a little bit of a grasp of what's going on.
This right? is true.
Like, I jumped in and immediately it was like, what's happening? What's
going on? Yeah.
What is this? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, he fervently didn't believe it goes. Now he's enthralled in this. Yeah. He has no sort of it was so many sort of like twists and turns in a way that felt like, do I have to understand this show fully to understand what's happening?
I don't know if you agree, Zach, but
what's that?
He should absolutely believe in ghosts.
We're seven
episodes into this season, and this is episode six,
and he says,
he's encountered everything under the sun. He should believe that anything is possible. Yet in every episode, he goes like, "I don't believe any of this shit."
Yes, and it's obviously because it's like X-Files. It's like they want the skeptic. Like there's a skeptic on X-Files.
But they keep bringing FBI that up, agents, which is what makes them qualified to investigate this stuff. At least work for the paranormal investigation division of the FBI. Whereas in this case, he is a lifeguard.
He's met aliens. He's met a frog woman. What else, Charlie? Blob from under the sea, a sea creature, something else. You 100% should just be like, ghosts. I totally buy that at this point.
And their entry point is this guy, Teague. We still don't know
what exactly his deal is. It sounds like he works for either some organization or the government that that knows everything about the paranormal, basically.
Right.
And he always comes to them for help. Why? I don't know.
But at the end of this episode, we are meant to believe that this was kind of a lucid dream that he had. So
that happened,
but then he was cut. And then Teague is like, hey, I need you guys out at the cabin. And he's like, I don't want to go to the cabin anymore. And Teague's like, all right, I'll see you later. Like,
So that's okay. Yeah. That's cool.
Maybe some other time.
And maybe like, some other time.
And he's like, okay, well, I got to get back to the yacht. It's almost as if like they said, hey, this Teague guy, he can only have 7 lines. And so he can't have no back and forth. He can't have anything that sort of makes him feel like a regular person within the realm of this world. He's like clearly there for expositional purposes or getting them from one place to the other.
Yeah.
Or sort of explaining something for them to then sort of deal with.
Absolutely.
And it's like, wait for me to get there before going in the cabin.
That was strange.
It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't like.
Also, that was like one of those things where I was like, wasn't everyone just like carpool? That makes the most sense, right?
Right.
get it at all.
There was so much going on right from the jump that I couldn't, because part of me was wait for me to get to the cabin. All right, let's meet here at this time. I mean, they got there so early, by the way.
Oh, they did. I was confused by that too.
They got there so early. And then it's always funny to me because in any of these shows, it's always somebody being like, well, somebody said we should, wait.
Should wait.
And there's always somebody that's like, why, let's just do it. Why don't we?
Yeah.
And the other person like, well, so-and-so always said to wait. And they're like, let's just go in.
Yeah.
And I get it. This is how shows work. Like you have to sort of have that thing.
But does it ever work out well?
No.
Right? It never works out well. And it's always so annoying because then it's like, oh, hey, if you're scared, it's like, I'm not scared. Let's go inside. And of course something happened. But it's like, there's always that person that's like, because in my mind, even still, I was like, why won't she just wait? Like
I know, right?
20 minutes she has to wait. That's it.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
I'm going to go inside. Like, if you're scared, it's like, he said to wait, just wait for him. What are you trying to prove, Angie Harmon's character, that you're like tough? I don't have to wait for this guy to go inside a house.
And
like,
she's normally the wait and see character.
Yeah, they kind of switched the roles there.
They switched that up because she's normally the one who's like, Mitch, you got to listen. And Mitch is like, I'm not afraid of anything. And in this case, he's like, let's wait for Teague. Mm-hmm. So,
I guess at the end, that's how the writers justify. That's why you knew it was a dream.
Yeah.
It was Mitch was the one holding back.
Oh, this is like way more brilliant.
Also, they brought groceries. And I was why did they bring groceries?
Guys,
did they bring groceries? And then I said, was they sleeping over this? Like, what?
I think they were planning to be there for the weekend. Like, it sounds maybe, like, yes.
I don't know about you guys, but when I was watching that, I was like, this is one of the most inexplicable things I've ever seen on TV.
Yeah.
Like, ever. I was like, I don't understand. Who is going to go to a haunted house and was like, let's stop by the grocery store on the way there. I assume there'll be a fridge we can put our groceries in And this is what take I, them
this
back
is
home.
Actually,
I was like so confused
several times, but they have to cut these episodes down to 42 minutes. And what's always missing is a lot of justification. And I have a feeling it was going to be like kind of like one of those things where it's like, you got to stay overnight because that's when the crazy
you
stuff
so?
Happens.
Okay.
And then they were going to stay and then they brought groceries because they were
but they brought a lot of groceries.
A lot
Charlie,
of groceries.
So much
oh,
groceries.
So they so had, Charlie, like, you're saying that it's a haunted house? And they're like, we're going to a haunted house. Let's stay the weekend.
Yeah, you've heard that. That's like the old thing. It's like if you can stay for 24 hours, you get.
No, but you're staying like 48 or more.
Yeah, I would say the weekend, right?
Right.
I'm so confused by it.
Which once again, I understand that as a premise of something.
Yes.
But
that's
in
not
my
the
mind,
premise.
When we got here, when they had it, I said, did I miss information? Because they never said they were staying. That's my thing. I don't feel
right.
like
yeah.
they ever. I don't think. I feel like the guy didn't come. It's like, hey, all right. Like, you're right, Charlie. If that was a thing, they definitely cut that piece out because they never said that. So when they
instead,
had groceries, I said, that's so weird.
Instead,
it's so weird.
They used that car ride to give us the definition of a ghost.
What was that? Everyone knows what a ghost is. Yes. The idea of it. She's like, let me look it up.
What I was thinking about that, which obviously I was like, why are they telling the definition of a ghost? A. But then I said, and what is she reading this off of? Because then he goes, well, necromancer. And then she gives him the full definition of necromancer. Yeah. And I was like, is she reading from a dictionary? Because this is the past. So she doesn't have a phone. She's not looking at Google. I'm like,
she was flipping the pages quickly.
How does she know this? What is she reading this from? And then when she got out of the truck, she didn't have anything. So I was like,
there are no necromancers in this episode.
Yeah, that was a loss. We didn't get a necromancer.
Okay, let's just jump into it. Season 2, episode 8, or episode 6, The Cabin. Okay, so this woman who is not important, and we never know what happens to her.
Is the idea there that it's like something happened at the cab, and then Teague heard about it and is like, let's go investigate it? They don't make that clear, but
she got away, though.
Yeah, but even
still. It seems like once you get out, the guy chases you for a little bit and then disappears. Yeah.
Yeah. Very confusing. Yeah.
Yeah, but she's being chased by this guy who keeps saying the land must be purified. She falls down the stairs.
Did he disappear?
Yeah.
Yes.
He disappears.
In the first part.
I think so, right?
Okay.
Like right when he gets, or maybe it cut
when he gets to it. No, he does.
He does. Okay.
Out.
I don't.
Just like at the end.
Oh, okay.
Did you like that transition, guys? It was like a weird mosaic thing. It was like, the editor was like, I got something new to try out. And it was like squares, like, and then we went to the office, basically. Not the TV show.
It does
show,
come back later and there is an explanation, but the first thing I was like, she fell for like 45 seconds, like her rolling down the stairs,
the
hill. Like she rolled and rolled and rolled. At first I thought she was in the house and then she rolled out of the house, but maybe she did. I don't know. It's like the space and time of the cabin is really all over the place. So
yeah.
The logistics of this are the world's finest scientists couldn't explain how this ghost world worked.
Right? It makes not much sense.
Dark fucking story, too. The lore of the cabin.
This guy killed a lot. Yes.
And then was killed by a Hungarian immigrant who then hung herself.
I'm sorry. I know we're jumping ahead, but I was like, why? Why did she kill herself?
Yeah.
I didn't understand that. I was like,
she won and survived. She's the final girl. Why'd she kill herself?
That? No one does that.
Then she's like, oh my God.
I should have stayed in Hungary.
so after all I've seen, I can't be alive anymore.
I can't be alive. Yeah, they told me not to go to America.
Yeah.
So then Mitch comes into the office with a fire axe that he was gifted, an 1890 fire axe. Gifted for pulling a kid out of a burning car on PCH.
Okay, that was strange. I felt that was strange, right? It was like, basically all these firemen were like, hey, you just did the job that
you
we
did
do
our
all the time.
Job.
You deserve this right.
you
really
get
old
an
axe. It's like, what?
Yeah, there's ancient axe.
It's probably quite valuable, too.
I would think, right? I wanted a story behind it, but we didn't get one. We just know it's old. And he said it was like, didn't Mitch say it was like famous or something like that?
It just is one of the great fire axes of all time.
It's up there with some of the great. Yeah. If you're doing the top 10, you'd be hard pressed to leave it out.
If you're playing a video game, this is like an epic loot drop. This is like the legendary item. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
What's funny is to me, and maybe I saw it wrong. In the beginning, it looked worn. And then in the end, it looked not worn anymore. It looked more new than it did in the beginning.
Right.
Almost like it has a different axe.
Oh, well, also, didn't you guys find it strange that it was a different axe from the one that Cowboy was using?
I thought it was important.
The most sense just make it the same axe. I don't know, right? Or did they not want to be like slamming the firemen saying like they used a murderer's
axe? You use Maybe a, that's a what bloody murderer's
I
axe.
I guess. I don't know. It's weird.
Was his name Horace or Horse?
Horace.
Oh,
Horace.
I thought it was. I wrote it down. Horse Calhoun.
That would work. Horse Calhoun.
That would work.
It
right?
would. Yeah. It would.
But he was, and his like his. This is jumping ahead.
What? Yeah.
But his wife liked getting fucked so much.
That storyline was hilarious.
She told him every detail.
I was like, every detail. I was like, that's something else. I was like, okay, I got. She was like, she really liked the job. I was like, you know what? I don't think she's happy in this marriage, and she's finding something she likes. And then it's like she told him every detail. I was like, there's something
really
going
twisted
on here.
The knife a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah.
Right.
She despises this man, I think.
She really does. And then he's like, first it was just Friday, then it was Saturday, then it was Sunday, then it was Wednesday.
That part was hilarious. Yeah. Yeah, Friday. Right. Friday night's not that bad, but
yeah.
Wednesday?
Yeah. Like, one day a week. Okay, cool.
Okay, yeah.
And That's he's fine. Like, we had plenty of money at that point. She said, no, I want to keep going.
We were rolling in it. I bought this act with that money.
Yes, exactly. So then Mitch is trying to find a place to hang the axe and he drops it on his head.
Lucky didn't decapitate.
Yes, seamlessly. There is no, like, normally in this case, you would have some sort of cut where Mitch is woken up and then it's like, oh, like you had a bump on your head, and then the rest of the episode continues. So then at the end, you could be like, oh, at that point where there was a cut, that's where he went into the dream world. In this, it's just seamless. As soon as he's hit, he's just like, it just is seamlessly, he's now in the dream world, right?
Right, I guess. I guess that's, it's a dream from there on out, I guess. Which, once again, I mean, strange. Oh, sorry.
Can we talk about how kooky it was, how it hit him in the head in the first place? It was so goofy. Like, it was such a, like, I'm not going to say he's not the best. Actor, but I will say from this throughout this episode, he is the one who commits the most, right? And he's like, David Hasselhoff sells everything. He's doing his best to sell everything he's doing.
Him interacting,
even when he got hit with it, it was so weird.
Yeah.
It was like such a kooky, like boop, like sort of.
Like cartoonish.
But he falls. He falls very. He's like, he throws himself into it.
Throws himself. And also, Zach, I don't know if you noticed, but a main cast member from this show is
the woman
in
the bath.
Episode, the woman in the bathtub.
This is so strange, Ron.
Was a main cast member last season.
Season one of Baywatch Nights, she was a main cast member.
The woman in the bathtub was Destiny.
They didn't bring her back, but they.
A medium that was in every episode. And in this, she's just a naked woman in a bath.
She was always in the credits, but she. Oh, no, actually, she I think dropped out like halfway through.
But
or
she
they
was,
her,
yeah, but at the time, she was a main cast member. Yeah. Like, she's in the credits. What a. Yeah.
So strange.
I mean, well, I can tell you, it was hard times for her if she took that job because to be on the show, then get fired, basically.
Sure.
Like, well, we can make you do this. Most of the time people kind of go, no, I'm not going back to something y'all shouldn't fire me. But to be like, no, I'll do it was like, oh, you must haven't been getting no work. Since
And they're like, and she's like, okay, what are my lines? And they're like, it's pretty much the same lines over and over and over again.
It's actually the same shot.
We'll have you do it
Yeah.
Also, weirdly, heteronormative, I guess, for the time, where like she wants Mitch to get into the bathtub.
I know.
Like that. And then when Angie Harmon came in, she never says
she doesn't mention it. I was like, that's kind of rude.
Oh. I thought that was. And honestly, they kept. There was a point where Mitch went back maybe four times in a row.
Yeah.
And I said, we get what this is.
We get it.
Keep coming back to this.
That the final time I was like, okay, we have. We have stretched this to its limit.
I also thought it was getting to the point where I was like, okay, I guess he's gonna get in the bathtub at some point, because it just seems like it's pointing that way. But nope.
I think I was like, at some point he's gonna keep trying to do the thing and then realize getting into the bathtub was the actual answer.
Yes.
But to it never to happen, it was almost like, why do we hear that so many times then?
Yeah. And so this woman in the bathtub, sorry, I know this is jumping ahead, she is not Sarah, right?
No, it's confusing. She's I looked up on IMDb. She's Nadine.
Sarah is his wife. In this episode.
I don't know if she is or not, because there's like one or two women in the brothel that maybe are not credited, at least on IMDb. So I don't know if one of them was Sarah or not.
Why not make it his wife? Because especially when he's like, was she in the bathtub naked?
Naked. I did appreciate that he went with naked.
Naked.
Instead of
naked. I was like, that makes sense that he would be upset, because that would be someone seeing good his point. Wife naked, which he seems to not like.
Wait, are you sure that's not Sarah? Because
it's
why
not.
Why did he keep going? Somebody who. So then.
Oh, but yeah.
When, because he kept. Well, he kept having to explain. That who so how was he explaining
it's sloppy and it's confusing
in the bathroom.
I know it's not Sarah though, because for one she was credited as Nadine, and the other reason is because she has, when she talks to Ryan, she like explains what happened, and she says like his wife worked whatever she says the whole thing. She doesn't say like herself, but it is quite a bit confusing. I would say I thought it was Sarah at first too, because of the way it's done. It's like she's in the bath and he's like Sarah, and then it's like, oh, here he comes, and then you would think, okay, that
right
Sarah. So you're just saying that David Hasselhoff's character, Mitch, he was kind of speaking as if he was assuming that it was Sarah, even though it wasn't.
Probably, right? Yeah.
Because I feel like that's how he was presenting it, as if
it felt like it. Yeah.
Is that Sarah?
Yeah.
Yes.
And that, he even tried to be like, hey, no worries. I wasn't doing any. I did see her in the bathtub.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's very. Right. It doesn't really make sense. They should have just made her the wife.
Also, we find out that he kills 11 of the working girls and six clients.
Customer.
So
wow.
Was it a not very busy night at the brothel, or did he?
Okay.
Or that's did he? Well, I'm wondering.
I'm kidding.
Because I'm like, I only got six customers.
Well, look, you only have you have to assume maybe some people got out, maybe some people were in between, like somebody finished or like in their cleaned up mode. You know, or you always want to have at least more workers
than standby clients.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You want to be staffed, right? You want to be adequately staffed.
Just in case you get a couple. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so
you don't want
this is
to come in there, blue balls, and then be like, hey, we got nobody.
Exactly. We don't have anybody. So maybe, or maybe after he killed six, that's when Judith stepped in and killed Judith Kadar.
They made such a big deal out of like her name and everything. Like, it
we also don't know if she
Judith
is
Kadar,
one of the prostitutes, or if she is just an Hungarian immigrant who happened to be walking by.
Do you think she was in Hungary and she was like, mom, my dream is to go to America and kill a man, and then that's it. I'm going to kill myself. Just want to achieve my dream.
Because they specifically, why wouldn't they just say one of the prostitutes killed him? Instead, they're like, a Hungarian immigrant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the other 11 were born and bred American.
I know, that's right. It's like one of those details. You're like,
I should have did.
Does that make sense? Why?
Oh my God. Okay. So then we.
This is when Teague walks in.
By the way,
I love this line delivery where he's like, Mitch, Ryan, what happened? That's just like.
No, right. It's so interesting because. There's such a non-emotional aspect where you kind of where part of it is like, can this guy not act? Is it supposed to be like this very just tactile?
Right.
Is that direction? Yeah, yeah. Is it because it's so nothing? It's so like.
Yeah. It's a good question. I actually had the thought.
Somebody walks in right from in the beginning. He's like, Mitch, Ryan, what happened here? Yeah. He's barely in the door. Like, I'm like, he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's just asking questions before he I was like, how could you actually walk in to like trying to get people's attention, assess what's going on in a way that made you ask that question in a way that was not what we saw? Right.
And
right.
Every time he walks in, Mitch goes like, oh, fuck, Teague's here. Like, it's like he's always annoyed that the guy's here. But it's like in episode one of this season, when they introduce Teague, remember the description of him is that he's like the hottest guy.
Yeah.
In the
and
world.
He's a man and of mystery.
Like, he's
too.
Like a man of mystery who like watches the sunset in Tahiti and like he goes skydiving.
That's right. Yes.
And, yeah,
world
he's
traveling.
Like, got all these. But then in every episode, he just shows up and he's this like milquetoast. Like, hey, yeah. we got something. You gotta look at.
I had the thought watching this. No joke. I was like, I wonder if this is the actor starting to like check out because
like what
you said, Ronnie. It seems like everything's exposition, and truly, all six episodes, it's pretty much all exposition. Just
why
him
does
like
he have, need them?
Yeah. Why does he need them too? What do these two have to offer?
And it's, I hate to be a sort of judge a book by its cover type person,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's so funny because just even when he was explaining to him, I was like, this guy does not know go about interdimensional sort of,
right.
What are you talking about? This guy, I've met this guy, no fucking way. No way this is the guy that's telling me, we gotta keep the connection alive and the soul. And the,
oh my
and
God.
I'm like, shut
when
up.
When he started talking, when he was like, it's not the time, it's the place, it's the house, but it's the different century, but you could break the-
Right,
break,
and we only have one chance.
You make things worse, and it's like, it doesn't seem like it.
It seems
like
really self-contained.
Seems like it. No matter what you do, you're just kind of in this loop. Like,
yeah.
It's like just the so much of, hey, it feels like so much of the writing is just, hey, audience, just trust us on this. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Don't ask any more questions. You know, like.
This all makes sense.
So when on their drive, they talk about ghosts, necromancers, and then when they get there, Mitch says when he thinks about ghosts, he thinks about Aunt Tilly kicking off and hanging around long enough to make sure Uncle John doesn't hook up with some floozy.
Yeah, so wait, he's had experience with a ghost, his own aunt, I guess, then, is what he's saying, right?
Or does he think that that's how ghosts manifest? It's just
Women
trying to make sure their wives don't or their husbands don't move on after death or something like that.
To someone else.
Or if the other question is, was this just a bad joke?
It might have been just.
God, there were so many. I mean, just like every 2 seconds, there's some sort of like quip, like, you know, get in the bed. Oh, no, I will be back, I think.
In an overall theme way, I know we're going about this show, but just in my mind,
yeah,
I can't imagine that the people who run this show, like who the people who are in charge of the Baywatch franchise,
mm-hmm.
I can't imagine it because it's so crazy to me to be like, all right, so. Hey everybody, Baywatch is pretty solid for us. And we need some more content that's going to.
Yeah.
All right. So how about what if we do this thing? What if we take that show that everybody likes in Baywatch? Everyone loves David Hasselhoff. You know, what if we take that show, keep the name, add something else, but then take out all the elements that makes the other show popular with these people? And then just see if they'll stick around and watch.
Yeah,
like, and that's pretty much. All right, so like what happened?
It'll be ghosts. Like even if they were like, all right, cool, it's this thing, but people, there's still a lot of half naked people running around. Yeah. You get to see that pretty often. You still get your kicks, and there's still some other stuff. But the idea that the people that watch Bait, that there's a huge sort of like, coming together of the audience of people who watch Baywatch and the people who are going to watch this Baywatch Nights version seems so not like even seems like a bad idea on paper. Like, I'm just wondering who was like, yeah, that seems like it'll work.
David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, I was just going to say the answer.
Apparently, like, this is kind of like a vanity project. It's like a vanity project.
It's like Baywatch was wildly successful, and he's like, okay, I'm a big star. I want to do something else now. And then, like, this is what ended up happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And yeah, because okay, in this, well, you do get a half naked woman, but you have to keep in mind that she's been brutally murdered with an axe. And I also love that every time they would run into a new person, that person would immediately get killed with an axe.
I know, yeah.
Just like axe flying through the air, everybody getting hit. Mickey from Seinfeld.
Yes, again, he's been on Baywatch before. Love him. He's great.
And it made me actually play it a little bit after I watched it just before, was the game or the show itself reminded me so much of Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
Because if you never played Red Dead Redemption, that is just the world that they're in. So even when she was in the bathtub, I was like, I get bathtub washes all the time. Like, or just the people, it reminded me so much of it in a way that, I mean, even from the axes, I was just like, this feels like Red Dead Redemption, and then I was like, did they steal this? Did they get?
They might have. I think so. Episode, Ronnie, you're right. Yes,
this could be a good video game.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, it did feel like it felt very, you know, speaking of video games, like it felt very Westworld to me too. Like,
oh, it does have a because everyone's kind of strange, so it does feel like almost like an Android or something.
Yeah, it's like an Android or something like that. But yeah, like. Red Dead Redemption 2, you're like, oh, if you pay an extra dollar, then she cleans you rather than you having to clean yourself.
Right. which, you know.
Yeah. You're going to do that at least once.
I'll buy that for a dollar. I'll buy that for a dollar. RoboCop.
So then when they get into this house after they've taken their groceries inside.
I just seen RoboCop. That's what
Did
you? I just did too, actually. Yeah.
I watched RoboCop, the original, and then also the 2014 version.
Oh, like, my gosh. Day.
And it's so weird how they're so different in a way that, like, one was pretty much straight to the point. Like, this is what this is. And two. And then the reboot,
the remake,
it's so interesting because it is like, well, now that we live in a world with all this new technology and stuff, we have to sort of incorporate this new. And so it was a lot different in a way that I just didn't enjoy it in the same way.
I haven't seen it. Whatever. Charlie, you saw it though, right? Yeah.
Yeah. RoboCop 1 and 2 are original, great. Yeah. RoboCop 1, RoboCop 2, 3 is awful. And then the reboot is just like completely mediocre. Like they took it down to PG-13, made it about military contractors.
Made it about military contractors. like really sort of put the gruesomeness of his RoboCopness in your face in a way that's like, all right, this isn't cool. Like this.
Oh yeah.
Thanks. Like
that is like that is the one lot. Like really disturbing scene is when they have him like basically his head like suspended.
Oh really?
And, okay. Yeah. So, like separated from his body. Yeah.
Oh geez.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so. Yeah. It's
messed up.
Anyway, back to Baywatch.
Yeah. Okay. Baywatch. So Ryan finds a jug of moonshine in the fridge that never comes back. But
oh, was that okay? I didn't realize
that's
that.
That's what I thought it was. It looked exactly like the kind of jug you would put XXX on, and I see. You know,
so the ghosts are using it as well.
Yes,
they're like, there's
I think
a fridge
the ghosts
here.
Are using
Let's
the
use
fridge.
This. So
it's either that or like Winnie the Pooh's honeypot. You know, like
that's, okay, could be
it's
that.
What it looks like. There's no like you're not storing anything modern in there.
I don't want to call Ryan out, but did you notice it took her like 15 minutes to put these groceries away?
Oh my God.
It's so much time. Cause like Mitch does so much and she's just still putting groceries away. I was like, it shouldn't take that long.
Right. Also, how odd was it that all of the lamps were on, but covered in sheets? That's going to start a fire.
Yeah, I don't know. Who put those lights on? The ghost put them on? I don't know.
That, yeah.
Also at some point, I don't know why it felt weird to me, but as Mitch is sort of going through this maze and Ryan's in the kitchen, And at some point she goes, Mitch, you want anything to drink? And I'm and it felt like, why did she ask it? I don't know why that felt strange to me.
Yeah.
Like this is
it's like got, Karen, when did you sat in the writer, they sat in the writer's room and they were like, how is she gonna call to him and find out that he's stuck in the closet?
Right. Doug. I honestly, this is fun, everybody. But I'm telling you, I would listen to a podcast of those writers just explaining why they made the choices that they made.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I would listen so intently because I'm pretty sure there has to be a story where it was, hey, we really wanted to do this and do good. And X person would always start a monkey wrench in it.
You think it's just one person in the room?
I feel like that's how it had to, because listen, we've all... Even if you're listening, you're not a writer, right? You've seen enough TV to kind of understand, like, how fundamentally television shows work.
Yes,
like story structure works, and the idea that there's just so many things that are almost like, all right, Daryl, that has to come back, and then they don't, or that has to mean something, and it means nothing is insane.
Yes.
Like to the point where it's not cool or not sort of, oh, they got us with the red herring. It becomes sort of just like, oh, this is just elements of bad storytelling.
That line or whatever, that item didn't matter. By the way, I have an answer, Ronnie, I think, to that person in the room that kept like, oh, no, why are they
David
suggesting
Hasselhoff.
This? David Hasselhoff. That's my guess.
So, okay.
I would love it, Doug.
Yes. An oral history of Baywatch Nights.
Oh my God, I would love that.
It's kind of like all those stories about Steven Seagal when he hosted SNL and how he just would have the worst sketch ideas.
Of course.
Like, that is the best. Like, there's so much sort of, you know, like podcast, video pod, just discussion like content out in a way that, but I am always excited when I do stumble across somebody sort of explaining a story, or like if I find an account where somebody has solely just made an account about explaining why something didn't happen.
So
for instance, there's this one account, I forget it, where part of them was sort of talking about, this is the Batman that we could have had, like the Tim Burton one, or this is the thing, so on and so forth, and then being able to sort of like tell us why it didn't happen and And so the stuff is so interesting. So even something like this one, like it would be so interesting to kind of be like, well, what originally happened was Baywatch, they want to do this thing. And then so-and-so said, well, what if we did it like this? And everyone was like, that's crazy. But you couldn't tell this guy anything. So then, you know, like those sort of things to be like, oh, because it's so interesting how just even being in this business, it's really interesting to still understand like how dysfunctional it can be and how the decisions can be made so weirdly.
I mean, the thing that you learn in what, because I've watched a lot of those too, Ronnie, is the thing you learn is when it does turn out good, it's almost always an accident. Like it's always like one decision away from complete disaster, and then something happens that made it work. Like, and then usually it's like, you know, they're like, we got to make it four quadrant, we got to do this and that, and then some shit comes in that just like completely butchers it. In this case, I truly think it was like A, David Hasselhoff, and B, them just saying good enough.
Well, sure, and they're not wrong necessarily. I mean, they're like, yeah, this will work.
Yeah.
And it's, especially back in the 90s, there wasn't like as many people probably like, there weren't, you know.
They're not doing any research or anything like that. Yeah. Like, as, you know, emblematic of them walking into that closet, and the first thing he hears is someone singing Clementine, which is the most, like, it's like if you were to just
song.
Be like stereotypical
like, Western,
like,
one.
Yes, it's just like,
but I looked up the lyrics,
thought,
I was like, what is this
Western,
what is this song about? I'm familiar with the song, I've heard it, of course, but I'm like, what is this song about? And it's about a woman drowning in a river.
Drowning.
And he's I was like, that's a pretty sad
drowning
song.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So nothing to do with any of the content of the show.
Yeah.
No.
No, she just they were just
or
like,
maybe they were like, well, drowning Baywatch, that feels like it connects.
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna give you my imagining of how this came about.
Yeah.
So imagine I'm a writer in the room.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're sitting in the room, right?
Yeah.
and David Hasselhoff walks in. He has his cowboy boots on. He walks in. He sits down in like that head chair and he puts his 2 feet on the table. And he's like, guys, I got a great idea. What if we do a episode where, you know, because I was just watching like a Western and I thought it'd be funny, like in that saloon era. So what if we do an episode where we go to like a haunted house, but the house is like a maze. And the only way that we're able to get out is if we can reconnect with each other. All right, you guys hand your way with that. I'm going to get up out of here.
Okay.
But, that's what I want to see.
Oh, okay.
And how does the Western figure
into this? You said a maze? I'm confused. Yeah. That sounds like something else.
Yeah, like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe like you go through like a door or something and then it's like a new thing or something. And then like, and he was like, and then it you go through one door and then you try to go back through the door and it's different. Anyways, I got two hot models in my Corvette sitting in the same seat, I got to get out of here.
I just had one question though. You said it's got to be like in a log cabin, but these are like Western people, and I'm just like a little confused how that those two log cabins are a little bit different than like Western, right? Am I wrong here? Should I look it up in a dictionary?
I'm not the writer here. You got to pay to write my ideas.
You guys, it's not going to matter. It's a paycheck. Let's
just, you're right.
Let's just write what he wants.
You're right.
Is that one guy? Is that one guy looking at the other writer like, "Shut up, man. It does not matter.
It does not matter.
Dude, nobody's gonna remember you for this. Just
yeah. What you hope is nobody remembers for you for this.
Yes.
Like, do as little as possible to be remembered not remembered for this show.
I heard this story that like Ryan Murphy, like, because he's always got like five or six rooms going at one time because he's always making like a bunch of different shows, and at one point he was going to make an American Crime Story Hurricane Katrina show, and it never ended up happening. But what he would do is he would go between the different rooms, but he couldn't be in any of the rooms for very long, so he would just stop by each one and just like throw dynamite into the room. And so like during the, like there was one day in the Hurricane Katrina room where he walked in and he was like, "Hey, I just read this article about micro penises, so see if there's anything you can do with that." And then he just left.
Amazing.
For the Hurricane Katrina
how like, would you tie that in?
Really?
I would love if he did that, if he did that mistakenly thinking he walked into another room where a show where that seemed like it would make more
sense. It would make sense.
Absolutely.
When he realized he made a mistake, he just doubled down. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just doubled down on it like, when they were like,
people are complicated. Like, there's more than one thing happening in the world at any given time, you know?
I could be suffering from Hurricane Katrina, but also have a micro penis.
Yeah,
like two things could be, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. And I gotta overcome my shame.
I know.
rescue someone from the flood.
I gotta overcome my shame of trying to find a way where I can, get my family back on its feet while also not being able to satisfy my wife.
Yeah. All right. Only the person with the smallest penis gets into the Superdome.
Yes, it paid off.
Finally.
You don't understand. Every day of my life is my own personal Hurricane Katrina.
Well, we solved it.
Well, yeah, honestly, yeah, we did. We pitched it, it's like one of the most insane tasks I've ever heard of. What the hell? Wow. Amazing.
So we get the Sarah scene, it's not the Sarah scene. He keeps yelling Sarah.
Yeah, it's this woman,
Nadine, in the bath, and she keeps telling Mitch to get in the bathtub with her because she's safe in the bathtub.
Which doesn't sound true. Sounds like she kind of likes Mitch, I guess. Is that the idea? It's just like, get in the, cause she's like, take off all your clothes and get in here with me.
Cause when Ryan comes in, she's like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Go die.
Right. Don't see him. Like, he's going to get you. All I know is, and she was like, "Why is that?" And he's like, "All I know is that I'm safe in here." Or
I would think it would make him matter,
right?
Mm-hmm. But wasn't there a point where he kind of came into the bathroom, or like or at least was visible from the bathroom and the thing, and he totally ignored the person in the bathtub?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So to me, it was just interesting because it was funny to be like, will come into the bathtub, and part of me, just because I probably wanted just something interesting to happen, I was like, David Hasselhoff, just do it. Like,
he should just do it.
Yeah, he should just get in there.
Just do it. Like, that is, like, I understand the first no. Maybe even the second no. We're on the third time. Just
try something different.
Yeah. Try it out. Right.
Yeah.
Because you can always get out and come back, you know, like, and then everything will be back as it was, you know.
You know what?
If it's not real, he's not going to kill you. Yeah. Even if he kills you, you're going to be alive still, right?
Yeah, guys. Nope. Micro penis. Mitch has a micro penis. It's like, I can't reveal that.
Not today.
I'm not getting in the bathtub.
Not even to a ghost.
Doug, there is no way in history David Hasselhoff would ever agree to any character he's ever played.
Of course not.
Not
of course
having not. The biggest penis out of any man.
I know.
There's no way. No way.
So basically,
so that's how he starts. He's like, all right, so this character is a nerd scientist. He also has a
huge
penis in the world.
Huge.
Yeah, with a huge hog.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. And, you know, we should be referencing that at all times just to kind of remind the audience.
Right.
Yeah.
The clothing that I wear, everything should insinuate how the way that I walk. If you look at my characters, I walk as if somebody inhibited by a huge penis.
Yes.
We should talk about how my clothes are custom because I have to build a sheath into the belt.
Yes. I don't walk like a normal person. My two outside legs they stay together at all times, and my third leg goes forward, and then so on and so forth. If you can imagine.
Any conversation I have with somebody of the opposite sex, they always do a brief look down at my penis and then make a face like, pretty big, like a face like that.
So basically the last thing that happens is Horace comes in and throws a knife at Mitch. And pins Mitch's shirt to the wall, which cuts him. And only at this
he throws two knives.
He
throws
the first knife.
I mean, so just so everybody knows, he has, I guess,
multiple.
Unlimited knives.
Yeah, it seems like it. He's a video game character. Just
as many as
he needs. Yeah,
just like in Red Dead Redemption 2, he's got a bunch of throwing knives that he can just
bunch of so many throwing knives.
Yeah. And so the second time he gets after asking if Nadine is naked. And then once he pins Mitch to the wall, it is at this point, after all of this has happened, that we get the opening credits to the show.
It is funny that they do that, I think, almost every episode. It's like 10 minutes in.
My mind. Yeah.
It's so strange, right?
When that happened, I said, there is no...
No.
What?
Yeah. We're like 15 minutes in.
Very confusing.
I was so... Oh, my. I couldn't believe it. I promise you, I couldn't believe it.
10-minute cold open for a 40-minute show. So a quarter of the show goes by. That's very strange. Yeah.
And so then once we come back from those credits, Mitch pulls himself off the wall while Horace yells about Sarah. Then him and Ryan have an exchange how he's lost in the hallway. And he opens a door and finds two dead people. So two of the victims.
Yep.
Horace throws another knife. And then Horace slams Mitch up the wall to the wall like three times and then leaves.
Yeah,
which it's like
so this is one to make Mitch look like a fool. I guess.
I guess he was like maybe he likes the chase, you know, because
maybe
it feels like if he is trying to kill him, then that was the perfect opportunity to do so. But he just gives up and leaves.
Yeah.
Ryan is
maybe
bored.
He's a gentleman. He's like, I want to kill all the women first, and then I'll come back and kill the men.
They got it's also funny that it was like he killed 11 of the prostitutes and a half dozen men.
Yeah.
Rather than the word six, because they said, which I think is funny that it's like, it sounds like
said,
more if you say half dozen.
They have said one short of a dozen women.
Yes.
Half a dozen men.
Yes.
One short of a dozen.
The opposite
two short of
a baker's
dozen.
Yeah.
Yeah. <Sorry. laughs>
So then Mitch is, I guess, in another dimension at this point. He sees a noose hanging over a bed with a wooden beam. And she's like, Mitch.
Yeah, she's a skeptic all of a sudden.
She's like, she says.
But no, it's both.
Ghosts,
it's
ghosts and illusions, or it's molecular imaging.
Molecular.
Which I'm just like, what?
What?
Sure. Okay.
Molecular imaging. To me, I was so, bro. The science on this.
Yes.
Also, the science on this is so, you know, whatever it is. But there was also an element of everybody just immediately just being on board in a way that felt so unnatural to me.
Yeah.
Like, even when she was like, Mitch, what's going on? Hey, it's just go. And it maybe that's part of the notion of like what you understand.
Yeah.
But it's like everybody just knows, I guess, what I should have already known. Like, great. Well, yeah, it's ghosts, or it's this thing, or molecular imaging, yeah. Without any sort of information or any sort of thing about what this, how any of that. I was just like,
yeah,
how was everybody just okay with everything in a way, yeah, where they understand that this is happening?
Right.
The show never pretends for one second that there is a logical explanation for what's happening. Like, they just
put words together and say, this is it. Molecular imaging.
It is ghosts and molecular imaging, a thing that I've never heard.
And right. She says something that just makes no sense every episode so far.
Yeah.
You're just like, what? That's not a thing. Oh, by the way, earlier she said, she's like, she told Mitch, she's like, I'm participating in this thing, investigating this cabin, because I'm a scientist and therefore I believe in the paranormal. And I was like, that's usually how that goes. Who's writing this? Like, come on.
I'm a scientist and therefore I believe in the paranormal. Yeah. Yeah.
The whole, I was just so, it's so funny being along for this ride. I'm telling you, anybody who's just listening because it's like, oh, cool, I haven't, like, jump into the series from this show.
From this,
yes, because
I want to be as lost as possible.
the whiplash oh, that you will,
what's going on
going back to regular Baywatch.
Yeah,
they just put you right into the middle of, like, it's like a Game of Thrones episode with, yeah, no context about what happened before or
right,
like, it's, yeah, so it's like you're just thrown in and just like expected to understand what this. It,
yeah,
was so weird. And then just the bail on it at the end is so, also made it so much,
yeah,
more, it's made it so much more dissatisfying.
It did. Yeah, I agree on that.
So then the noose tightens on Mitch's arm.
Yeah, he stuck his hand through it like an idiot.
I was like,
what are you doing?
It feels like he'd be able to get it off. But,
well, that too, but yeah.
That's not, you can, like, you put it, your arm through it, but that's still not how nooses work. So even when he did it like
it a noose breaks your neck,
give the noose pressure, and then the noose goes like, oh well, I got pressure, so I go down.
Yeah.
Like, you still have to adjust the noose like manually.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then Ryan says she's going to go outside, but she opens the door and ends up in a parlor. Mickey from Seinfeld is there, who continues to tell her to take her clothes off and come put her naked backside on
him. She said, okay, wait, his line, I wrote it down because I was like, what the? He said, I'm hungry and sore. Now get your backside naked and come sit next to me. He just wants her backside naked.
Chaps situation or something.
Well, I think like, he knows what he's into and he's going straight for it, I guess.
Straight for the butt. Right.
And he's hungry and sore.
Hungry and sore,
he was saying it as if like she was supposed to, like, you're late, like, but all these other things, well, if you're hungry, you could have already gotten food.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The thing he asked for had nothing to do with sort of the thing he was complaining about.
Yeah, hungry and sore. I was like, well, this isn't going to help either one of those.
Yeah,
I would think.
You didn't say horny.
Yeah. Right.
You didn't go, I'm hungry and sore and I've been horny or I've been horny for you all day.
So let's take care of the horny part first and then we'll get some food and
get some sandwiches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then he tells her he has gold. And then she like odd jobs him with a
yes,
hat.
She does.
How
does she know that'll work? She's like confident. She's like, this'll work. You just throw a hat at a ghost.
And why does it work?
It works. I don't know. Doesn't make any sense.
Because it's molecular imaging.
Yeah.
Right. She was right. It's a molecular. Yeah. It looks like he gets electrocuted first because there's like bolts of like electricity and then he just disappears and doesn't come back.
But that hat is also part of like their world, so like, because at the end we realize that it's like the two sides need to touch, but in this case she just takes a hat and then like, so wouldn't throwing anything from any part of the world kill
Mitch? Just needs to throw someone at Horace and then
right,
he's good.
Anyway, that gets him, and then
because he doesn't come back.
Yeah, Then Mitch meets
this is hilarious actually yes.
another one of the prostitutes
yes
who then Horace comes in and goes daughter of Jezebel and axes her to death immediately.
Yeah, but did you notice Mitch was down? He was like, you know what, yeah, he's about to kiss her, he was about to make out, he was going for it, and then interrupted by an axe. She also, by the way, said he's the cutest man since that bush man of Abilene. So some guy that was a bushman.
Oh, she did say that. She did say that.
She did say that.
I will also say all his long distance hurls of weapons sliced so. This dude must have been a champion.
And he is.
Because they would slice so cleanly and kill people so immediately. You know?
Feel like he's one of those magicians that throws the knives and like pins.
Yeah, he's that accurate.
Around a woman. Yeah, because like when he gets Mitch right in the arm and then like he's throwing these and like they're hitting, like he's gone to those, like, you know, those like axe throwing things that we have now that like you go and get it. Yeah, that's exactly. He's gone to practice a lot.
Which is, he's that good, then that's what he should have been doing, as opposed to selling, letting his wife sell sex to save.
He could have monetized that. I know, right?
This must be a hobby he took up once she was spending a lot.
Oh, you think that's what it was? Okay.
Oh yeah. Once it got to Saturdays and Sundays and Tuesdays and
yeah.
God. So
well, he should have told that in the story he was telling Angie.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So yeah. I started throwing axes. he says that he killed them all, and he says all, what is it, corruptors must die?
I think so. Earlier I thought he said all truckers, and I was like, that doesn't make
any
sense.
Yeah, it sounded like truckers, but later he says corruptors.
So I was like, oh, I guess that's what he said earlier.
All truckers must die.
All truckers must die.
And corruptors, I thought there was going to be some sort of, like, he thought they were, like, demonically possessed or something like that.
Yeah.
There would be something interesting there, but no, he just is, like, sex negative, I guess.
Yeah, basically. He's, like, he's basically an incel from the 1800s.
Yeah, he just is shaming these women for their chosen. Yeah.
Sex negative.
So Mitch ends up in the bathtub room a bunch more times.
Oh, so many times. Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally he ends up with that woman in bed, but he's going to kiss her. And then she gets axed to death as well. So this is the second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I jump ahead?
Yeah,
I got confused.
So
you're right.
Because
he has
two visits. So yeah, he watches two women get killed.
Yeah. Okay.
And
all right. And it's right that because I feel like there was times where there's bathtub woman and then there was blonde bedroom woman, and I kept going, is that the same woman? These are two different women.
Oh wait,
might
are
be
they
two
women,
women, I think. Yeah,
okay, so she's out,
she might never
bathtub,
get out of the bathtub.
She's not out of the bathtub. Okay.
Yeah,
because he never pointed out being like, because every time he would come back to a room and then there would be the woman that was dead, I would go, well, that should alert him that this is some sort of weird scenario, because the woman that was just in the bathtub is fully clothed, dead on the bed now. Because
right,
I thought it was
yeah.
the same, because it kept looking like the same person to me. And then I was assuming it's not the same person, because he's never pointed it out. Right. Like he's never.
Right.
Said,
yeah.
You were just in the bathroom, or just like, this is the, you're from the bath. How could
so
this?
Maybe so Nadine like, never died.
Maybe she never did. I'm not sure, though.
I mean,
I could be wrong. It got a little confusing. Especially because there's so many scenes that were just like him going back into the bathtub and then
a little confusing.
A little confusing.
It got a little confusing.
Just a little, just a bit.
I'm sure they had a perfectly good reason, and like there is a roadmap for this that was well thought out.
But I like this is as I Ronnie mentioned earlier, but this is where we get our connection to the beach. They truly every episode this season they get the beach in there somehow.
Yeah,
that must have been a complaint from season one.
In this one,
that has to be. That has to be like a note from top down, because that's one where it has to off of being like, I always thought it was stupid to try to put the beach in our Baywatch night shows, but somebody from top down being like, it's fucking Baywatch.
It's Baywatch.
There has to be a fucking beach in the show if it's Baywatch.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is so funny too, because it's like, this would satisfy no one though, I guess, that, you know, as a Baywatch fan, that it wouldn't be like, oh, nice, that's the Baywatch I know. Although it,
right. Especially since, okay, so another thing, and this is just a cinematography thing, because like they didn't adapt the script. Like, the way this is shot, it's like, it's so low light, you can barely tell anything, and he walks out, he's like, it's gorgeous. It's so beautiful out here. It's true. It's like, it looks like shit. It was, like, what are you talking about?
That was the dustiest dirt. That was like the fucking dingiest beach I've ever seen.
He's like, it's like,
I'm not even a beach guy.
So beautiful.
And that for sure would be a beach I would try to avoid.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
And he sees Ryan, but she's like,
was it her? I couldn't tell when he turned her over. It's kind of hard to tell too.
It was supposed to seem like it was Ryan.
Okay.
And then when he turned the person over,
it was a decomposing body.
Yeah. It almost looked like
decomposing.
Like a demon from Evil Dead or something kind of
right. Yes,
that.
It did look like that. Yeah. Oh, I thought that was
and
just
if,
Ryan.
So even if it was a decomposing Ryan.
Yeah.
Even if it was a decomposing Ryan, then art department did a horrible job sort of being able to make us show us it was right because it looked so not like her.
Yeah,
they ruined whatever it was.
I think that's probably why they really turned down the contrast on that too. They were like, maybe let's make it as dark as possible, so just cover up some of that.
also, I've you know, most of the time, in I mean, we are all aware that there are movies and shows or something that where they shoot where it's supposed to be summertime
day for night.
People will be like, man, it looked like it was cold, but it was so cold. But even in this beach scene, I was like, it looks cold. Like, it looks like it's a windy day at the beach.
It looks like Delaware.
It looks not warm. Right.
It looks like it's like the Delaware. East Coast in the middle of winter. Like,
yeah.
Right.
California sun, baby.
Nah.
That was the most unappetizing beach I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Mitch goes to the lifeguard tower. And as soon as you hear the voice, you're like, well, it's Mitch.
Well, it's Mitch. But Mitch doesn't realize it yet.
Yeah, and Mitch doesn't realize it yet. And then evil Mitch comes out.
Actually is kind of like Evil Dead, actually, now thinking about it. Yeah. Or is that Evil Dead 2, but when he gets attacked by like another version of himself.
Mitch tries to kill Mitch. And then he jumps off into the sand, then sinks into it.
By the way, I had a thought there. I think that was basically like a metaphor of a sort. That's the Baywatch version of Mitch saying, what are you doing messing around with this show and trying to kill him off, basically. Am I wrong?
Yeah. You think this is like some ego trip? Like,
this
demon.
Is stop messing around with this. Die. But you know,
I mean, so I think you're wrong because I have no, I have no faith that David Hasselhoff is that introspective.
No, you're right. You're right.
Especially in his work to be like, oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
sure. I'm gonna put that in there.
He watches every episode and goes like, "This was fucking great. Like another home run. Like,
Dave, you did it again.
Dave, you done it again.
Did you see that jug of moonshine that I had them put in the fridge? Yeah.
He's like,
it's a little details like that.
Let me put some moonshine in there. So when he sinks through the quicksand, he is sucked through and then drops onto where he fell through. So it's like a loop
just back at the cabin, I guess. Yeah.
Which, you know, again, like doesn't there's no rhyme or reason, no rules, no it's never explained why this is happening. But okay. When Ryan talks, she kind of sounds like it's not backwards, which would have made it even more so, but it at least has the effect of like Laura Palmer in the Red
Yes,
Room.
I actually thought of Twin Peaks as well. There was that one moment, like when he's going over to the beach, that
she's
I was like, "Well, that's a little David Lynchian." I did like that
she's
actually.
Like, Mish, don't believe me. Yeah,
yeah.
Which they should have run it backwards. Would have been better. But so then, when he ends up back in the cabin, Horace is back yelling, "Corruptors must die! Repent, you sinner!"
all the classics.
All the classics. Yeah. then we get the first of two exploding doors that apparently when you're trying to go from one side to the other,
you ram a pole through it or something
and then it explodes. Yeah.
And then you're like very far away, but you can, it seemed like, especially Ryan seemed to stretch her hand out like she was.
Yes.
Like, she had the ability to stretch her arm out. Yeah.
It was a very Space Jam-ish like arm stretch.
Yeah.
As she was reaching across trying to connect with Mitch.
Yeah.
But they don't have Teague there yet, so they don't know the rules of this.
The rules
place.
Of where you have to hold on.
You gotta
for
hold
dear
on
life
your hand. Yeah.
For everything that's dear. Yeah. They just touch.
How would he know that? It's impossible. He's like, I already know how this
show this show is written as if by episode three, everybody knew it wasn't coming back. So they were like, hey guys, we're not going to have to be held accountable. We're not going to be held accountable for anything we write.
Yeah,
you're shooting first drafts.
First drafts only. Don't you dare bring me no rewrite.
First draft, best draft, shoot it. This will never air again. Don't worry about it. Nobody's
it
going
does
back.
Does not
There's
matter.
No such thing as DVR. Nobody's.
this is gonna be locked up in a vault. Never to be seen.
Nobody's
again,
ever gonna talk about this again. There's never gonna be a thing called YouTube.
No, don't worry about it. What are they gonna do? Look it up in the dictionary? It won't exist there. Possible.
So once they do touch, they both fall down. But Mitch ends up outside in the woods, and Ryan is still trapped in the 1890s, I guess. Yeah.
They like swap spots, basically.
Yeah, they swap spots. Then Teague is there and says it might not be possible to find Ryan. So then Ryan hears like whispers and then the growls where she is. And then Teague, this is when Teague does his explanation. Oh, go ahead.
I just want to say, because even you said 1890s, and which, I mean, I guess we could assume that considering that's when the axe came from, and obviously kind of context clues.
Yeah.
But remember when she was in the room with the guy, and she kept trying to figure out different ways to ask him what the date was?
Oh yeah,
she kept deflecting. Like,
yeah,
I kept thinking like, why just say what the why is that the secret? Like, why,
I know, right?
Why is the date of this, like, or even just the year a secret for this? They want to be evergreen so it could always play. Like, it'll, if we don't give them the actual date, it'll always play no matter what time somebody's watching this.
Yeah,
that was strange. He thinks there is an answer he will give that will prevent him from getting to have sex.
What time is it? You back talking me?
Okay. I'm so angry. Right, well, you back talking?
Hey, like, what's today then? Oh, you don't get over here. I'm hungry and sore. You're just like, oh my gosh, bro. Like, why are they avoiding this? If they're not going to tell us, then why is she asking in the first place? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
It's also like it doesn't. It's not a reveal to the audience that they are in the 1800s, right? Like it's not a thing where it's like a twist. It's like, well, we know they're somewhere weird. So it doesn't, like, nothing's going to surprise us. Like, once we've seen the axe murderers and the parlor and the prostitutes in the bathtub, we're not going to be surprised if you wait 32 minutes to reveal that it's the 1800s, right? Like there's no stakes.
Yeah.
Like, even if you didn't want to commit to like an actual year or date, you could still go and like, that's not the one. No, you don't talk to a guy like this in the 1800s. Like, I would have even took that. Like, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, sure. Like, just the notion of like bringing up something that they are never going to tell, it makes no sense.
Do you think there was a viewer that was just like shocked when they heard that? The 1890s?
Oh!
What? What?
What?
Oh my god. Wow.
I did like read a couple of the YouTube comments, and there's a couple of people that said like, I couldn't sleep for like a week after watching this. It scared me.
Okay.
I was scared of closets. So it's like, which is funny because like normally like you're scared of a closet because there's a monster in there, but this is, it might lead to like a Wild West brothel.
Right. Yeah.
If that's the case, I'm looking at my closet all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Alas, not today.
Because Ronnie, you got a great point. How many brothels had some guy like Horace that flipped out and killed everyone? Most of them don't.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
Most of them don't.
Yeah. Because that seemed like an interpersonal issue between the two of them that spilled out. Yeah, the brothel.
Absolutely.
Not the brothel's fault. That's
no,
sure.
Not at all.
Right.
So then Ryan walks through a hallway and a bunch of arms grab at her, which doesn't matter. She ends up in the bathtub room. And then bathtub lady does not want Ryan in the bathtub with her.
I know, sad.
Does not want her in the room and says if she gets out, he'll kill her. And then says that Horace's wife works here. His wife, she's like, oh, and he didn't know? And he's like, no, he knew. They needed so, money to save the farm.
I didn't like that part of the reaction. They're like, no, they're both cool with it. Until she got really into it.
Quit once she got enough money, which is like.
I love that, actually. I was like, dude, you know what? Yeah, that's very funny.
It's just like, yeah, this is what I was made to do. You want me to go back to a farm?
She's like, no, this is better. This is better.
And so it made Horace crazy.
It's just
so
funny that we only hear sort of Horace's version of the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, and we have at least two other sort of brothel character speaking parts, and neither of them to be the eventually murdered wife.
Yeah.
To even explain sort of the notion of like her side
perspective.
Or even her
perspective is saying, I at least would like to hear her say, like,
yeah,
what can I say? I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed it so much.
I wasn't happy in my marriage. Like, yes. You know, yeah. No, like,
she's like, let me tell you what I did on Wednesday night. Let me give you all the details.
And like, it was like
we're
having
two characters. Yeah. One of the characters says the same thing 17 times. Changes it one time when a woman walks in.
First, yeah. I started with prostitution 101, then prostitution 201, then advanced study prostitution.
You know what's funny? I actually had this same thought. I was like, not that I'm calling improv as prostitution, but I just was like, okay, yeah, I get it. She did it Friday night and was like, this is really cool.
It's
I'm
like
gonna go Saturday night too.
There's a bunch of
that I thought about it. Yeah.
Yeah. They're probably nicer to her than Horace was. It seems like he had some anger issues. So then Teague says that Horace
Calhoun, but she did it. Yeah. But she did it. She everybody, if you take one thing away from this, like the guy had anger issues, but it was definitely brought on by his wife. He was a nice guy.
Wife. That's what everybody says. It's just like,
poor man.
I do think there is something to be said. I think that if this were to happen to me,
okay, sure.
If this were to happen to me,
okay.
And Alex, in this case,
you don't have to make it that personal. Just say it. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Okay,
I'm just saying it insisted on giving me every detail.
That would be a little tough.
It would be tough for anyone.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not going to kill 17 people, but it'd be a little tough. Not at all.
But I was like kind of more on little her side, but I was like, that's a little cruel that she gave him all the details. It says that he every night she came home. So basically it's like she comes home 3 days a week.
Yes.
And she talks about work the whole time, which is kind of a bit much. But two, it's like details about like what's going on at the
because it doesn't sound like she's complaining. Brutal. These are great days at work.
No, she's just like, this is the best time.
Yeah,
it's rough.
It would only make sort of like a saving grace sense to me if sort of, even though they both agreed to sort of do this for money, we understood the fact that she was probably pushed into it more so by the guy.
Yes,
and then she ended up liking
his worst nightmare came true.
Yes,
right? So now that she's telling him all this, it's almost sort of like, see what this is like you're pushing on this.
He thought this would be a great shame for her, and she would want to get out as soon as possible. But instead, her liking it is like, you know, it backfired on him.
That makes more sense. What you just said, Ronnie, absolutely. But I personally kind of appreciated that they went this wacky route. That
she did still, though.
What?
Give him the money to save the farm. That's true. It would be different if she was out and you can take care of the farm yourself because I'm the one making all this money. She fulfilled her end of the bargain.
She did.
Yeah.
I think personally, I'm just like, I think this marriage isn't going to work out, guys. That's what you guys both need to realize.
What if Sarah? Because they don't even say that. Sarah was killed.
We don't 100% know. It's true, right?
Maybe he's always looking for her among the dead. Yeah, he's always looking for her. So maybe he just killed a bunch of other people.
Do you think he came in on a Monday and forgot that was one of her days?
She's not here on Monday.
He's like, oh,
what a terrible.
Yeah.
How are you going to make the mistake to come in on your wife's day off?
Well, it took me 2 days to take the horse cart here, so
yeah,
might as well just do what I need to do.
The comedic version of this starts from him sort of storming out of the house, like, I'm today's that I'm gonna go kill her.
Yeah.
And then as he's storming out the house, like, we cut to the living room where she's sitting there because it's a day off, and she just looks at the door like, I wonder where he's going.
Yeah,
so mad.
He's
going.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Well,
like him not realizing that she's in the living room.
He'll be back. Yes. So yeah, this is when we learn about Judith Caesar or Kadar.
Judith Kadar, yeah.
Yeah, the immigrant from Hungary. Killed him and hung herself. So she killed him and hung herself. So why did she hang herself?
I don't know. That was the second strangest thing after the buying groceries before going to a haunted house to me in this episode. I was just like, what? Why did they write that she hung herself? I don't get it.
Yeah.
All right, we have to have a character, but we can't have many characters. So how do we avoid the problem of him having to meet the alive character? She hung herself.
She hung herself.
Perfect.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Also, a prostitute can't kill him because then it would be us saying we approve of prostitution.
You're right, because we don't know
the
what
1990s.
Is prostitute
it seems because, like we said, it's very sex negative. It seems to really hate prostitutes.
But then it'll be. But then it also be weird if we have one of the Johns sort of be
the
savior of killing him as well, because we don't. Then we could don't sort of because it'll be us saying like, well, the guy who's in there buying prostitution.
Yeah, like we got to be neutral on this.
We got to be neutral on this. So it's
and people
sort of like a passer through.
Yeah.
Maybe, and people seem to have a lot of opinions about immigrants. Maybe we could do them a favor, make them the hero.
Right.
But not too much of a hero.
Not too much.
Here's the backstory for us. The so there's a immigrant from Hungary who happens to pass by, and the madam of the house takes her in feeling sad to let her stay for a while so she gets on her feet. And so while she's not a prostitute in any of the way, she's just like helping out. She is the one that kills the guy. And everyone was like, that sounds good enough for us.
Yeah.
Like, will we put that in the story if we have time?
And then she will immediately kill herself so that she's not taking anybody's job. So then we just close the loop.
Yeah. Just close the loop.
Nobody gets mad. The loop.
Everyone's happy.
Perfect.
Also, do you think someone in that writer's room was like, hey, you mentioned she's from Hungary. Where did you think? He's like, you remember that line earlier where the guy was like, I'm hungry and I'm sore? It's all connected.
Jesus.
That's how brilliant this script is. It's all connected.
She wasn't a Hungarian immigrant. She was a hungry immigrant. Okay. So we got to finish this episode. So Mitch is gonna go. Oh, so we get the whole story.
Oh, by the way, real quick, there right here when Ryan is lost and she's calling out to Mitch, Mitch goes, Ryan, get out of there now. Which I was so bothered by that line of dialogue. I was like, you just were there. It's impossible. Like, it was a weird line of dialogue. Did you notice that? Like, get out of there now. It's like, it's impossible, or it's very difficult.
We found out it's really tough. Also, so when we get this story, we get that we learn that Sarah. And maybe this is just according to Horace, but she was the prettiest of them all. What is she doing with this guy?
I mean, I don't know.
Porky from Porky's. Like, he's like, right?
Sorry. You know what's funny?
She was the prettiest of them all.
The prettiest of them all.
Oh, my God. Porky's Revenge, I very vividly remember the scene where Porky's like running after everyone, and he does run just like Horace.
He runs just
I was like damn,
Horace.
You're 100%
right. So then at this point he's like, she started telling him exactly what happened with each one, and that's why they all had to die, that's why Ryan has to die too. And then Ryan finds Judith hanging. Oh, this is actually a cool moment. When when she shuts the door, Judith starts going like, ah!
I was like, why is she like an evil ghost now?
Yeah, right? Why not?
Cackling.
Like,
You're right. Why am I?
It's definitely what? Just like a closet monster type thing, whatever they call it, a monster closet. They shut themselves in. Then they burst through the door and reach for Teague. Horace comes right back in. They grab him right as Horace is about to attack them. I don't understand how Horace is able to transcend from
go outside?
The 1800s and then go outside.
Yeah, it's a weird thing that they did, I guess, right? Just
because he's supposed to technically in a different century, right?
Yeah. I think it's just they want that final moment of like, oh no, is he going to get them? And then, but well, it doesn't really make sense.
Well, I mean, well, no, I think it makes perfect sense. I think those long sort of nebulous stairs that they fall out of, that they fall down before they end up outside rolling in the dirt. I think he just travels down those stairs as well. Like those stairs that don't seem like they come from the house.
Not at all.
Stairs from any, just, it just seemed like just some sort of otherworldly stairs.
Absolutely.
So they just roll down a bunch before then they kind of end up outside in the dirt. Like Horace Travel, he chases them down those stairs.
Yeah. And so now that they're out and we've done this, if we travel back to the beginning of the episode, what was this woman doing in that house?
Who knows, right? Do you think Teague told her to meet him there and she got there early too?
He's going to
try. Like, Daryl. He's like, just don't go in there before I get there.
I'm going to show you something really cool, but do not go in.
Do not go in there. And she was like, I have groceries.
We're going to have a great weekend together.
Great weekend.
Yeah. But just don't go into the house.
As long as you don't go in the house.
Yeah.
So then Ryan wakes Mitch up on the couch, says he passed out from the axe.
They're like, so weak, this connection.
So
here.
Stupid.
It's so stupid. It's the axe, so sure, I guess, whatever. Yeah. But then he says cigars, and I was like, he wasn't in that scene. So what is he talking about? That's right.
I kept thinking, wait, did I miss something? Was he in the?
No, he definitely like, never. He never saw it.
Ryan was in because how would I was like. I kept thinking, like, he was never in another scene with any other men to where somebody would be smoking cigars.
Yeah.
What is he talking about?
Right. It's so stupid. It's like, also, like, I assume Mitch smokes cigars. So it's like, well, don't you have cigars there? That's why he has. And then he's like, bubble bath. Like,
the bubble bath. Yeah. And she's like, I got it for this weekend at the haunted house. So they really are planning to have like a full weekend. Yeah. Because they got groceries, carrot sticks and health chips.
Health chips. I was what is that?
What did the guy say? When it happened, she called me back.
Oh, what?
Right, because remember he said, because remember he was like, so and so called me back, like after hit you on the head or something. And she called me back,
yes,
which was weird because it hit him on the head before the guy entered. Right. So it's like, so did it hit him in the head? He was like, oh, okay, cool. All right. He leaves and then he went wonky. And then she goes, hey, come back. That's when he was asleep or whatever. Like, is that what happened?
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. But Mitch never woke up.
And wouldn't Teague be like, I'm going to leave you to deal with this?
Yeah. The idea, Teague walked in and saw him just unresponsive and was like, oh, yeah. Okay. I'll head out. And then she decided to call him back.
I don't know.
If I'm sort of fixing the logic, and I could be totally wrong because they might kind of go, we had no logic. But I think the logic is the axe come down, hits him on the head. So, and then the guy walks in and he's like, he calls their name and then goes like, you guys all right or whatever? Like, what's going on over there?
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, nothing. And he's like, you want to go to a haunted house? And he's like, sure, whatever. And he's like, all right, well, don't go in without me. And he walks out. And I think after that, that's when Mitch sort of like gets unresponsive or gets weird.
Oh, okay.
And then she goes back and gets him. And so that's why he knows about the haunted house stuff or whatever and all this thing.
Okay.
And then so when he's like wakes up, it's not sort of like, oh, the whole thing has been it's like we're just so blind to when exactly he was like,
they don't make it clear at all.
I think it still happened after the guy left.
I see.
Okay.
I think he comes in and tells
them
about
the axe again.
Yeah, maybe it's happened several times. We don't know. It could be.
I think it was like a concussion sort of thing where it's like he was just responsive enough to sort of get the information. And then immediately when he left, he was like, I feel so good. And he like passes out on the couch or something.
So then Mitch says that he is going to have coffee and then not sleep for as long as possible. So it's like a Freddy Krueger type, Nightmare on Elm Street type situation where she's trying to stave off sleep because he feels like they will come back for him. But that's not the rule is you got to go in the cabin.
Yeah, right. That's pretty simple fix, right? Just don't go in the cabin.
Don't go in the cabin.
Or it doesn't come to you no matter what.
Yeah.
Right. But he feels like if he's if it's a dream and all he's doing is in the dream, then clearly it's the dream.
Yeah. But then he does get cut. So it's like, also, like, why not just have this have happened?
Right. Absolutely. especially with everything that's happened on this show so far.
Yes.
I was like, no, why are you doing the dream thing?
It's a cop out. And it's like,
a big cop out.
Yeah.
unnecessary.
It's bad. Yeah.
Because they just kind of go at the end being like, oh, da da da. All right. Well, all right.
It almost feels more like something that would happen on a regular Baywatch.
Yeah.
You would have this and go like, don't worry. The Baywatch is still a show about lifeguards at a beach, but then you leave that little bit like, but was it real? We're messing with you. But this show has had insane stuff happen on already. And then they're like, oh no, we're going to undercut that and say like, this is a dream.
This is way too weird. We got to justify this with the dream excuse.
Yeah. Also the fact
this
that
is
like,
way too weird, even too for weird. Us.
Yeah.
He comes in and he's like, it's a matter of national security. You have to come. And he's like, no. And he's like, oh, maybe later. All right. Some other time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and why does he need them? Because he's like, I have a whole crew with me. Yeah. So it's like, why? What are they going to provide for him?
Right.
I think.
What do they provide?
I think Mitch is stupid enough to go into these places. That's it.
Oh, is that like, the idea? Teague knows he'll go into anything, which he does. He really does. He's like, I'm going.
But it's so funny because he kind of goes, I have a team or I have this. And he's always by himself, seemingly. So
he's never got in the car.
And then even in the scenario like this haunted house, he talks as if he has an understanding of how this place works or like what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I still believe where even if he did, when he's like, all right, don't go in without me, you almost kind of go, sure. But also even when it is like, what would you do? Right.
What would be the difference? Right.
Now we never go anywhere without each other or any, like, what are you? Cause the thing will still be happy.
How do you help? How do you help being there?
What was the goal? What were they going to do there too? Right.
Yeah. Also, I would love if at the end of this season, we just reveal that like Teague was like a huge con man. Like,
I would love that actually too. Yeah.
He said was a lie.
He has nothing to do with
it. Like, yeah. He's like living in his car and he just like, it's like, they're his friends. Like, it's only for
him. He always has that suitcase that seems like something important inside, but we never know what's inside of it.
I got a whole team back here.
I swear, yeah.
My contacts pulled them all back. My team is gone. All right, so that was season 2, episode 6, The Cabin. So we have some awards to give out before the end of the episode. First, being our Hofsker. This is our best actor of the episode. Everyone gets to award one. So Ronnie, you get to award one as well. I'm gonna give mine to Horace Calhoun.
That's awesome.
Horace Calhoun is my best actor of the episode. And you know, he not a ton to work with, but he did it well. And I believed him as this murdering psychopath who'd been cucked into a murderous rage.
Yeah. Go ahead, right? Yeah.
No, Zach, you go ahead.
Okay. I was just gonna say I agree. That's what I was thinking as well. Everything you said, also I did that line when he says, first it was just a Friday, then a Saturday, then a Wednesday. And then a Thursday. I was just like, that's amazing. I loved it.
Imagine
very
him
funny.
At home just like, so you're going in again to the...
That explains so much right
you
there.
You don't just have to. We have the money to
pay. We have the money. Okay.
Okay, I'll see you later, I guess. You want me to wait up or... Okay.
Let me. No, actually, you know what? Can I tell you about my Thursday first? Yeah. There's this man that just wants me to take the clothes off my backside. Oh, yeah. Just to my backside.
Oh, my God.
Okay, well, and then
as long as he ain't no little person, you're like, oh.
Well, he is actually.
Oh, he has a problem.
I'll tell you one other thing. He's hungry and sore. And now, let your imagination go with that, if you will.
Always hungry and sore.
Always hungry.
What is he
sore.
Doing to be always hungry and sore? I mean, I guess I give my award to Mitch.
All right. Yeah.
Solely because, I mean, he does it in a way he does it. I mean, he's just a pro. Like David Hasselhoff is a pro. Like he knows how to say that, like, no matter if it's ridiculous or not, he knows what the people want from him, how to deliver it. because there's even there, like he did a thing that actually made me like genuinely laugh, which there was a moment where Angie and or Ryan and him were reaching towards each other.
Yeah.
And she said, like, I forgot, she said something. And then his response was like, well, I didn't so and so. And I was like, oh, that was a good reading of that. Like, oh, that was such a good delivery of this. Like, yeah, well, I didn't take the time to that sort of thing. And I was like,
yeah.
David is really trying to sort of like sell this drivel. So, yeah. And he does that continually throughout the, like, even yeah. when I was like, he's doing his best. Even though it's like, you know, trash of his own making, he's doing best to sort of keep it afloat. You know, so I'll give him my award.
Yeah.
It's also funny, the difference between Baywatch Mitch and Baywatch Nights Mitch, because they are two different characters.
It is two different characters.
Baywatch
yeah.
Mitch is like extremely responsible. He's like a good dad. He's always the one who does the right thing. And in this one, he's like a rogue who like is like very quippy and like mm-hmm. Is like, you know, they haven't mentioned his son at all this season.
Yeah, not at all. And in season one, he's a bit more of like a sex fiend almost.
Yes, he is. He's like, and he's like a drunk sex fiend.
Yeah, they did. They seem to get rid of that for season two, actually.
Yeah, but he is definitely a lot more of a, like, it's like a lot more witty banter between him and...
Yes, he is like constantly bantering. Yeah.
Did you give yours, Zach?
Oh, yeah. Mine was the same as yours, remember?
Oh, yeah, the same. Yeah. Okay, cool. Next is our Jilzy. This is our worst actor of the episode. Mm-hmm. Gotta be Teague.
I was just thinking that,
Gotta be Teague. I mean, honestly, Teague. That has to be Teague across the board.
It has to be. I am wondering, though. I'm like, and by the way, Ronnie, we do these awards, but we often just say it's for the character, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're legitimately bad acting performances. Sometimes it's how it was written. Who knows? Whatever. We're not trying to shit on the actors per se, but.
I imagine this actor being like, he's a little worn out, probably.
Yeah.
So
that's why I do want to point that out. I'm like, I feel like this is six episodes now. And he's like, you just want me to come and say, Ryan,
do I work for the government?
I need you to come with me. Yeah. It's like, right. Who am I? What am I? Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah. He's probably phoning it in. Like, it probably is a phone-in situation for sure. If I had to give sort of a secondary award, I'm going to go to Woman in the Tub.
Okay.
Not necessarily because Nadine. Of delivery, sort of like I would say all encompassing, because even sort of just even the repetitive sort of just like washing of herself, it felt sort of just like,
yes.
Like just so like
gotta get those forearms just clean. Like,
just enough to be like, well, we can't have too much skin out of the water. Yeah, we can't have you do too much like.
It's very, not so seductive it at all. It looks a little functional. Like,
it's way more functional than seductive for sure. So, and that might have been whatever they wanted, but because of that, they put her in the running for this award.
Yeah,
they set her up to fail.
Okay, so next is best baddie. I mean, we really only have Horus in this episode, though. I would also give it to I guess I'm just gonna
maybe Cigar Man, as he was
Cigar Man listed. I guess he's a baddie. No, he's just tired and he's hungry, sore and hungry.
I'm gonna give it to I'm personally gonna give it to the noose, because he didn't have to grab Mitch like that. Had Mitch really
that's true
for the other person to then have to come in and sort of almost have her way with Mitch as he's like trapped. And I put
I know
by this noose, and then the guy comes in. So I say the noose.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? Just to switch it up, because I gave him a hop score, I will say, how about the hands? Go with all those hands.
Oh, the
those
hands
that
the
reached
hallway.
Out and grabbed at Ryan. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
also too, Judith is kind of a baddie. You don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Or like even, a baddie and like
I'm kidding.
She's hot.
No, I meant like because she killed the guy and then was like, yeah, I'll kill myself too. I was like, what?
Yeah.
You?
You're right. No, I know. I was gonna say Sarah too for she
actually, you know what? I was just gonna say Sarah. I'm going with Sarah. We don't see her, but I'm going with Sarah.
Yeah.
Love her. Right. Her whole story is fantastic.
I mean, Beach House Mitch was kind of tough too.
Oh, yes. Oh shit! Beach yes, House I forgot Mitch. About that.
Yeah.
Okay, now, okay, wow. Co-winner Sarah and Beach House Mitch. Yeah.
Love them. That's great.
Okay, there were more than I realized. Yeah.
And finally, we're gonna rate the episode on a scale of 1 to 6 Hasselhoffs. 1 is at the low end of the scale. 6 is high.
Wow. I'll go 4.5. I don't know. It was entertain. It's a mess, but it's entertaining. I feel like I say that a lot for Baywatch Nights, especially. But yeah, it's pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
What would you say an average on a regular Baywatch show? What do you say your average ratings are?
Maybe it's around this. I don't know.
Yeah, there's some, like, if it's bad, we'll get into the 3s or 2s. But
yeah,
I'm personally gonna give this one a 5.
That's fair.
The reason I'm going to give it a 5 is because, like, the worst thing that any Baywatch episode can do is be boring. And this one is not boring at all. Like, it's batshit. But, like, I like when they do the batshit stuff, like, when the body count is, even if it's a ghost body count, like, when that's high, when they do crazy stuff, when, like, I don't know, like...
Yeah.
I would have rated it higher if at the end they suck the landing and made it a dream. The dream, I was like, boo.
Those are my two biggest parts that I didn't like about it was the ending. And then also it just felt like there was quite a bit of time wasting with like Nadine in the bathtub where it was like, oh, just keep repeating the thing. It was like, well, you didn't really need to. It's just like we're watching the same scene over, over and over again. But yeah.
I mean, Ronnie, our brains are also poisoned by this show. So yeah, it's like,
so
we're stupid.
Feel free to give it any.
Like, yeah.
Well, no, I will say as someone who hasn't seen a single Baywatch Nights episode at all outside of this one episode. Mm-hmm. So clearly there is a litmus that I am not fully aware of,
sure.
But just being kind of dropped in and just being sort of
yes.
I'm going to give it instead of a 6 out of 6.
Yeah. Out of 6, the highest.
The highest. Okay. I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll give it a 3. Because it did keep you engaged, but engaged in a way that was sort of
baffling.
What?
True.
What? Yeah. It's very baffling. Yeah. Right? It was baffling in a way. Like, trust me, I hated every second of it. and there was a point where I fully realized they're not sticking the landing. I was like, there's no way they could sort of clear this up. And at the end I go, oh, that makes sense. Like, I knew that was not going to happen. but there was other elements of it that was interesting. Like, even the intro of the show, when they finally got to the intro, I was like, oh, this is really interesting because it was like very dark and mysterious.
Yeah.
But you say X-Files, but it was less X-Files and more like a sort of a Buffy the Vampire
Angel. Okay,
like,
yes,
it was more
right.
dark in that way than like.
So, yeah.
Ronnie, I just thought of a dumb joke when you said it. It was less X-Files and more Y-Files. Right, guys? Seriously, why? Why did they make the show? I'm sorry.
But yeah, you're right. It isn't like X-Files where it's like they're showing like the paranormal, the this and that, and you're seeing like files and it's like classified. It's
yeah,
like
yeah.
You're seeing sure. badly costumed and made up monsters and like shaky, right. shaky shadow figures.
Shaky, yeah. shadowy figures, candles, the rows of candles and darkness.
Of course, yeah.
You know, like sort
yes.
of, it's very much sort of like, okay, what? Yeah. Oh, uh-huh. And then David Hasselhoff sort of like walking through the thing. And at the end, he sort of he reminded me of America's Most Wanted.
Yes.
Kind of came into the thing,
John
and the guy
Walsh,
was like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. With that, with especially with that brown leather jacket. It's like
yeah.
the John Walsh.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The nights will never be the same.
Yeah. Oh god.
Like, okay. So they were grasping a lot of straws with this one, so
3 is definitely fair.
It's very fair.
Well, Ronnie, thank you so much for being
thanks
here.
So much, Ronnie.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Well, not this. not
Bay- Wait,
Bay- Watch.
The show or
not Bay- okay, Watch yeah. Nights.
Okay, fair enough.
No, this show is great. I plug
thank you.
Ronnie Adrian on socials if you Bones Adrian, actually, on socials if you want. But that's my name, so you can throw either on. And I'm pretty sure I come up.
Yeah.
That's it.
Perfect. Cool. Well, thank you so much again for being here.
Yes, thanks and, so much, Ari.
We will be back next week with an all-new episode of Baywatch Watch Nights. And until then,
stay wet at night.
When the waves are crashing. Thanks for listening to Baywatch Watch. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode. If you're just joining us, please subscribe to Baywatch Watch on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave us a review on the Apple Music Store. It really helps us out. Thanks, and until next time, stay wet.